will, in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 1, we find God's judgment or condemnation against a sinful nation. It says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the day of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the donkey his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord and have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for all that you have blessed us with as a church, as individuals, Lord, as a nation. And God, we just ask that you continue to work in our lives. Continue to work in the life of this church and in our nation, Lord, to bring us back to you, and God will give you the praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. I was born July the 4th, 1776. My birth certificate is the Declaration of Independence. My creator, sustainer, is our Lord and Savior. In him we trust. I'm the United States of America. Can we still say that? You see, God says, wake up. It's not going to work if I get away from here. Wake up, America. Wake up. America is my country. I love America. I think the world of her. And God loved Judah. He loved Israel with all his heart. He wanted to do for them. He blessed them in a mighty way. But here we have a judgment, a condemnation against them. And here's God's complaint. I believe the indictment of Israel, found in verse 3, is also spoken to the United States of America. It says, the ox knoweth his owner, and the donkey his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Amen. Listen to me. That word consider means more than just think. It means to think rightly. My children, Israel, does not think rightly. They're not in the right thinking. They have drawn false conclusions. They're not following the true conclusion. They are defective in their discernment. And I believe if we look at ourselves today, we'd have to say, yes, Lord, that's us. We've listened to the wrong voices, and we're not seeing clearly. Our view is distorted. Now, here are several, there were several prophets, and the prophets suggested things, but here the prophet says three ways their thinking was defective. I want you to listen to me this morning, because I believe with all my heart, this is the country that I love. This is what we've just sing about today. This is America, my country. One, they forgot the miracle of their history. The Bible says, hear, O people, my people, hear, O heavens. Who hath delivered them? He says, who has nourished you? Who has brought you up out of nothing? If you remember, Abraham was in the Ur of Chaldees, and God says, Abraham, get thee up out of here and go to a land that I will show you. And God raised up Israel. God raised up a mighty nation. When they were down in Egypt in slavery and under bondage of sin, who brought them out? It was God that brought them out. They had been taught that God is their refuge. God is their strength. God is their solid rock on which they would stand. But they had forgotten that God was their refuge. They had forgotten the bondage they were in. They had forgotten that God had brought them out. If ever a nation has been blessed by God, it's us. Amen. You think of it. If ever a nation had been brought out of the bondage and we came here in the United States for freedom, freedom of religion, freedom to express our views. Oh, and we said it was in God we trust. In God we put our trust. In our finances you would see it. On the walls of the buildings you would see God's commandments. The early men of our government believed, I believe, and looked to God for guidance. But we have forgotten that. Amen. We have forgotten. We sing God bless America. And He already has. He's blessed us in so many ways. But the trouble is, we have forgotten God's blessings upon our life. We've forgotten what made us a great nation. And we didn't become a nation on our own. It was God who made us that way. You see, I see God moving in the providence of the United States of America. So we are like Israel. We have forgotten our history and the miracle that made us what we were. And then it says, not only that, you have misunderstood your prosperity. Over in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5, we read about a king of Judah. It was a great king. It was the king we're talking about here, Uzziah. We know the passage of scripture in the year that King Uzziah died. Well, let me tell you something. It was a sad day because Uzziah was a man who looked to God. Uzziah was a man who sought God. And in 2 Chronicles, it says that. It says, he sought God and what? God made him prosper. Folks, that's a miracle. God made him prosper. It wasn't King Uzziah that did it. It wasn't King Uzziah that did the prosperity of Israel. It was God who made them that way. As long as their king sought God, God blessed the nation. Judah prospered as never before because they simply followed after God and sought God with all their heart in Uzziah's days. No wonder they were sad when King Uzziah died. The prosperity of a nation, the prosperity of America, is because at one time we followed God. Amen. We looked after God. All of Israel's prosperity was because they honored God and acknowledged God as their creator, sustainer, their rock, their refuge in time of trouble. They looked to God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 17, Moses, you remember Moses? Moses was the one to sent back into Egypt to lead the people out of the bondage they were in. And Moses said this to the people in Deuteronomy 8. He said, beware, 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 unless you forget the Lord thy God. And I would say today to the church, I would say today to America, we must beware. Amen. Unless we forget thy God. Oh, sounds like the nation, doesn't it? Sounds like the nation we call America. But we have forgotten who made us great. We have forgotten our history. We have forgotten the miracles that made us what we are as a nation. Not only that, they misunderstood the message of their adversity. You see, adversity is not bad. at all. It's for when we are under adversity, under pressure in life, that we grow. And in spite of Judah's prosperity, troubles came in their life. Trouble after trouble after trouble. Adversity after adversity came. And they simply called upon God. And God delivered them. God blessed them. But look at verse 5. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Will ye revolt more and more? The whole head, he said, is sick, and the whole heart is faint. As they look at the problems, God says, these adversities are coming on you because your head is sick. Your heart is sick. As I look at America today, we know of problems. We can't help but think about the problems that we have, the floods. We can't help but think about the earthquakes. You know, I'll turn 60 this year, and never in my life had I heard of an earthquake in East Texas. But there was two down there a couple of months ago. I happened to be in Reclaw. One of them came, and I told Dan, I said, I believe this ground shook. I believe something moved. And sure enough, there was an earthquake. Well, if you look at our states right now, we have problems with fires in our western states. They're burning millions and millions of acres. Economic failure could come real quick. Natural disasters in our land. And I can't see it as a natural occurrence. Amen. I see it as a supernatural occurrence. Amen. I believe God is saying, wake up. Amen. Hear, O United States. Hear, America. Your country is sick. Your head is sick. Your heart's sick. And I believe God's condemnation of Israel is also a condemnation against the United States of America. That we need to wake up if we're going to turn this thing around. Amen. In America's past history, we acknowledge God. We acknowledge God as our creator. We acknowledge God as our sustainer. We were not ashamed of God. And we're not claimed to be one nation under God and call ourselves a Christian nation. But even today, our leader has said, we're not a Christian nation. Amen. And oh, Lord, help us. Amen. If we're not a Christian nation. For the condemnation of God is going to fall upon us. And if you look at our lifestyle today, even the Christian lifestyles today in our churches, we're not living as a godly people should live. We're not having the Christian morals that we were once taught or the values that we were once taught. And there's no question in my mind that our greatness as a nation once came from God, and now we've listened to the wrong voices and our nation is falling away from God. He says, Judah, you have forgotten God. Judah, you have forgotten your Christian heritage. And Judah, you have forgotten where you come from. And I say to us today, we have forgotten. We have forgotten our God. We have forgotten our Christian heritage. And we have forgotten God in our lives. Friends, when you look at the churches across America today, oh, we're fighting some issues in our churches. It shouldn't ever be an issue in our churches, but it's an issue today. For there's an issue of homosexuality. There's the issue of same-sex marriage. There's the issue of abortion in our churches. There's an issue of public prayer. Man, we have taken God out of our schools. Amen. We've taken God out of our want to take it out of our coins. Amen. We want to take God out of everything. And you know, we are a sin-sick nation when we have abortions in America and kill the babies, and yet we want to protect the animals. It just doesn't make sense, folks. It doesn't add up to what God tells us in our lives. We legalize gambling in our own town. There's more at the bingo hall every Wednesday night than there are in all of our churches. And you and I ought to be ashamed of that. And if you don't come and you don't support your church, you don't support the Wednesday night service, you don't support the Sunday night service, you ought to be ashamed.
Amen.
Folks, you ought to be ashamed. We have forgotten God, folks. We've forgotten God. What's God going to do to us? That's His complaint. That's His complaint against Judah. That's His complaint against America. Look at the correction of a nation. He says, one, you have closed your ears against me. Hear the word of the Lord. And then he mentions Sodom and Gomorrah. Man. Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, the people there were listening to the wrong voices. And they listened to the voices of evil rather than the voices of God. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and should have been like unto Gomorrah, he says. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the Lord of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? The only thing good today on television, as far as I'm concerned, is probably the wildlife shows and the old westerns. I hate to say that, but all you see today on America's television is every stinking show. It's got where they put homosexuality on there. They put guys and gals that are homosexuals on there, and they're pushing their agenda. There's more people that listen to Ellen DeGeneres than they are on Sunday listening to the preachers. That's a shame, folks. I don't even turn her on. We shouldn't watch that. I know a lot of you like Oprah, and a lot of you like Larry King, and a lot of you like Jay Leno and all of those other talk show hosts. But we spend more time in America listening to the wrong things and watching the wrong things, all the corrupt things that fill our mind and what the world stands for, than we do worshiping God.
Amen.
And that's the truth. We can't hide it. It's all over, folks. And that's what God's saying. You listen, you're following after the corrupt leaders, and they're simply out for themselves. God must be saying to America today, hear me, hear me, hear me. You're listening to the wrong things and to the wrong people, and your eyes are filled with the things of the world. You've left me out. It's time to wake up. Oh, he ought to be screaming to the loud, and I believe he is too, through all the pulpits today. Wake up. There's a spiritual emptiness there. If you read 11 through 14, I'm not going to read that, but if you read 11 through 14, you see a spiritual emptiness in their worship. Look at that. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? He says, what is the purpose of all your sacrifices? They were just offering sacrifices to offer sacrifices to offer sacrifices. And that's the way we go about our church today. Amen or oh me? We just come to church because it's what mom and dad said do when we were young. Oh, preacher, I'm not really a church goer, but I try to go on Sunday morning sometimes. I wake up feeling good. I try to go, and if I don't, well, I just stay home. Hasn't God blessed you? Are you worshiping God today? I said Sunday night, or Wednesday night, out of obligation? That's the way most of us worship. We should worship out of gratitude. Oh God, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for blessing my family. I thank you for pulling me out of the depths of hell and setting my feet on a solid rock. God says here, hey listen, I'm tired of your empty old worship. You say you have a form of godliness. In Sardis he says, but you're dead. You think you are godly, but you're dead in your worship. It sounds like our churches, doesn't it? It sounds like our people. You see, I don't think one denomination, you know, I'm not going to call denominations, for the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Catholic, whatever you want to call them, we've all failed. What is the purpose of your sacrifices? What is your purpose of your worship? What is it? We should worship because we love God, folks. And God says, no, you're spiritually deaf. Now, the correction of the moral uncleanliness. You see, if you look at all the filth that comes out of their lives and out of our lives today, we are simply breaking all the commandments of God. And you know, I look at our churches today, I look at our church roles today, and we ought to be ashamed. Oh, we're a good church. We're a good church, but we ought to be ashamed. We ought to be ashamed because on every given Sunday, out of, I think we have probably close to 1,400 members of this church. But you know what? I haven't seen some of them in 7 years or better. Some people in this church hasn't come to Sunday school in over 2 years. Some members even longer than that. And every week I see members of First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel City doing things that would cause the hair to stand up on the back of your grandmother's neck. You're doing things, you're using foul language, you're going into places that you shouldn't, you're running your testimony, and you know what? What is the purpose of your worship on Sunday morning? Do you come here just to think, well, if I can sit in the pew and listen to the pastor, I'll be all right? Let me tell you what the Bible says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. I've got a feeling that if you're one of those that I'm talking about, or I ain't talking about you, I'm just saying this is what happens, and if you happen to be one of those out there that that's happening, oh, I hate to stand before God and hear, say, Lord, Lord, didn't we? And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. Your purpose of worship was just emptiness. You really didn't love me. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word, and will make it a lamp unto my feet. Listen to those words. When we said that pledge, I thought, Lordy mercy, we've got a bunch of liars here. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, and we don't. A light unto my path, and we don't. We're still walking in darkness. And will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. And we go ahead and sin. What are we doing? God says, the purpose of the multitude of your sacrifices are emptiness. And in verse 15, he says, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear, for your hands are full of blood. That word blood means evil deeds. Your hands are just full of evil deeds. That's America. That's the church in America. Our hands are bloody. You say, oh, where do we have bloody hands? Every time you pass up an opportunity to glorify God and say something about God, you've got blood on your hands. You got blood on your hands. Did you know while we're sitting here today, thousands are dying and going to a devil's hell because you don't care? Well, preacher, I do care. I'm in church. But you don't care. You don't really care. If you cared, you'd be knocking on doors. You'd be telling people about Jesus Christ. You would want to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe God says no less to America today. When you spread forth your hands, I will not hear you. I'm not going to hear your prayers. That's God's judgment. That's God's condemnation against America. Now let me ask you, what is it? What is it that God really wants from us? What do you want, preacher? What do you want us to do? Well, let me tell you something. Verse 16, I'm going to tell you what God wants. He says, wash you. Wash yourselves. Wash yourselves. Well, I take a bath every night. Wash yourselves, it says. Make yourselves clean. Now, what is he talking about? Well, this is God's plea to a nation. He says, listen, right on down in verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. What God is saying, why don't, as a nation, why don't you come clean yourself, get yourself clean before me? That means we need to repent, folks. That's all that means. Good old repent. God says, I am tired of all this emptiness. Come now and let us reason together. He says, let us bring this dispute between us and me, or God and us, God and Judah, God and America. He says, let's quit arguing and come let us sit down and bring this fighting to an end. And how you do that is repent. Turn from your wicked ways. That's all God says. Turn. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Oh, it's a call for the people to get right and get back in the service of God. Did you know? If you're one of these that only come once in a while, if you're one of these that only come ever, sometimes few and far between, all God wants you to do is right now to say, Lord, man, I've been wrong. I want to turn from that. I want to wash myself. I want to make myself clean. And Lord, I'm coming to you. For the Bible says, you are the one that washes away the filth. You are the one that washes away the sin. You are the one that calls us to repentance. And Lord, right now, I want to come and make a new commitment to you. You see, that's what you do. God says, listen, children, all you need to do, I know you're dead, I know you've been living falsely, but if you will with all your heart, come and repent. Now, let me tell you something. That don't mean just come down the altar and shake the preacher's hand and say, preacher, I want to repent. I want to get back into God's work. And you go back and sit down in your chair or your pew, wherever it might be. And you go home and you say, well, I'm too tired to go tonight. You hadn't done nothing. You haven't done a thing. Boy, that hits, don't it? I'm going to keep preaching the message till I make you mad or you get right, folks. Whew. I love you too much to let you ruin your life. And God loves you too much He don't want you to go to hell lost. He wants you to get right with Him. Young couple, older couple, we all need to get right with God. And you say, well, preacher, this is just one church. Oh, but it can start with one church. Revival starts with just you. And it spreads like wildfire. Oh, if you got so excited that you went home and you said, hey, honey, you know, man, I got up here at church today and I was so sinful. And God forgave me. And He cleansed me up. We're going to church tonight. In the morning when you get up, you say, babe, you know, where's the Bible? We're going to start reading the Bible together. Or, babe, we're going to pray together. You know, I know some people don't even pray for their food before they eat. All you do out in public because people are watching. But at home you don't. Boy, would it change your family. Let me tell you what. You've been praying for your kids. Maybe they're looking to you and say, why don't you get right first? Amen. You see, they look at us and they say, oh, well, he preaches a good gospel, but he doesn't live it himself. So why should I? Repent, he says. Now, let's look at the promise. Verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. This is the promise that God gives us. If you repent and if you come back, you shall eat of the good of the land. Wake up. He said, wake up. And you see, I believe this can still happen in America. We've gone a long way. We've slid down that, they call it a slippery slope. We're sliding downhill all the time. We're going down, 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 down. I was so proud when you stood up, the Army stood up, and the Air Force stood up, and the Marines stood up, and the Navy stood up, and the Coast Guard. I was so proud for you guys when you stood up. Fighting for your country meant something then, didn't it? Amen. It meant something. Well, as Christians, we're fighting for the gospel. And we're all in this war. We're all soldiers of the Lord. If you've been born again. And he says, listen, if you'll repent, I will let you eat of the good fruit. The penalty is in verse 20. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord, he has spoken it. Now let me tell you something. I'm not an end time expert. Brother Jay is a whole lot better at it than I am. Man, I like to listen to that guy teach. I tell you, he can talk about the end times. He makes it clear. But let me tell you something. In the Bible, the powers of old, the Greeks, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Roman Empire, they were all devoured by God. Amen. Why? They left God out. They did not honor God. Now, in the end times, I am told that the United States has no clear reference in the Bible as to what part we're going to play. Could it be that America is going to be devoured? And she will not even be around as a nation at all. Could it be that we're going the way of Rome? Could it be that we're going the way of the Babylonian Empire? Could it be that we're going the way of the Assyrian or the Greek? Because they all left God out. Could it be we're doing the same thing and we'll go the same way? God help us. The way we're going, our threat is not from China. Our threat is not from Iran. Our threat is not from Syria. Our threat is from God. That's It's from God. He says, you'll be devoured by the sword if you refuse to rebel against me. And that is exactly what we're doing. We need a good old revival, a good old God-sent revival from America. Now, I am an American. I believe that this nation is worth saving. I believe that our church is worth saving. I believe that our country needs to come back to God. It's worth the commitment. I was a little bit aggravated this morning. Man, it got all over me. You want me to tell you why? I've got pride in our church. I've got pride in it. And I walked through those doors after being over there on my knees praying for this church. Not on my knees, but sitting praying for this church. And I walked through the doors and it smelled like dead grass crickets. And I said, doesn't anyone have enough pride in their church to sweep those things up? Hundreds passed by them and said, whoa, it stinks in here. I think God's probably looking at us and saying, whoo, y'all stink down there. It's time to clean up our lives. It's time to have a commitment to God, a drive to call us back to repentance. God calls his people. We could have a revival in our day, and America could be delivered from the fate I believe she's facing now. It's simply awake or perish. And if you're here this morning and you will make a determination, Lord, with your help, afresh and anew, I will come. I will be part of the revival in our church. Amen. Let it start with me. And if you will do that, if you'll get on your hands and knees before God this morning, he will send a revival in your heart. But if you're not willing to do that, you're dead and you're cold. And you will be devoured by the sword. If I didn't think no more of God than some of us do, I would be afraid one day I would stand before him and hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. If you're lost this morning and you know in your heart you've never come to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to a devil's hell. But he don't want you there. He wants you to come and give your life to the Lord. Listen, husband, what better time to start serving God on the birthday of America? Give your heart to God. And every year when we celebrate the birth of America, you can celebrate your birth into the kingdom of God. Wouldn't it be nice to give your life to Christ today? If you've never trusted him, you need to do that. If you have trusted him, and you're not committed, you need to get committed. If you're looking for a church home, I would love for you to come here. Amen. But only if God leads you. If God's not leading you here, then don't come. You'll be miserable, and you'll make me miserable. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. It is true and alive. Lord, it cuts me just like it cuts anybody else. And Lord, I'm so ashamed of the things that I do. And God, I'm so ashamed that, Lord, I want to recommit my life to you. God, give me a fresh and a new commitment today. All that I might lead this church in the way it should go. And Lord, let us never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to all men. In Jesus' name, amen.